So what I figured we'd do today, and Tuesday and whenever, is we're going to read through some tshuvot together. You know, it'll be more of a joint learning than a frontal shiur. As I've said, many poskim have been writing Corona. Look, if you guys change your mind and you want you think you disagree with me and you want a frontal shiur, you want me to give you long dape makarot on these issues, we can, but I just feel like that's exhausting right after shiur. So I'm going to try to pick some interesting tshuvot that point out some issues that I think are fascinating. I'll probably be doing tshuvot mostly from Rav Asher Weiss, though maybe I'll do some of Rav Schechter's tshuvot as well. Or others, I'm not 100% sure. We'll take it the way you guys want to take it. But I figured we would start with a tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss that is a bit scary, but it's also Yamim Noraim Elul appropriate. So I figured we would start there. So I'm going to pull this tshuva up. This is a tshuva that very much drives home the importance of taking your actions seriously and the impact of your actions seriously. And it's a very sad tshuva. I heard him give shir on it as well. You can find it online where he talks through his process of writing this tshuva. It's a quite extreme tshuva, and I'm not convinced that every posek would go in this direction. But you'll see that what Rav Asher is really trying to push in this halachic tshuva is how much you are responsible for even the unintended consequences of your actions, which, as I said, I think is something that's worth thinking about during Elul, even if, please God, we never are faced with this exact situation. So this is a tshuva that's found in the third volume. There are already, to the best of my knowledge, at least three volumes of tshuvot that Rav Asher Weiss has put out about coronavirus just since the beginning of this. Rav Asher Weiss, for those of you who don't know, is one of the most important poskim in the world, widely accepted in both the Haredi community and in the Monorthodox Dati Lomi community. He lives in Yerushalayim. He moved to Israel from America when he was a teenager, so his English is perfect, his Hebrew is perfect. So, that's always an advantage. If you have the chance to hear him this year, then, I would do that, though I don't think he's giving live shirim yet. So this is what the shaila he was asked, okay? So this is the third volume of Tshuvot Minchat Asher Corona, Simen Tet. B'misha garam l'mavet adam l'yidei hidabkut b'machala. This is the very sad question he was asked. If someone unwittingly infected someone else with corona and thereby leads to their death, what type of tshuva or kapara do they need for that action? Okay, and like I said, this tshuva, again, it's very, very sad. It's a terrible, terrible tshuva, but it does touch on a lot of points that are worth thinking about during Elul. So I thought it'd be worth reading together. So who wants to read the beginning of this terrible case, which was an actual case that someone asked him? Anyone feel like starting us off here?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, take it away, Rami. I can also send this in the link if people want the... Go ahead.
So, Shemi She'oved Viz Siud Zaganim, so someone who was a worker at a nursing home, the La Marot She'echad B'nei She'mishpacho Chila
Chala B'karana. What is... Okay, what's La Marot?
Lamrot,
this is the key word here. Lamrot is despite the fact, right? Despite the fact that one of his family members had corona.
Corona.
This is all modern Hebrew, so It'll improve your modern Hebrew. Right? So, mechevan shirgish betov. What does that mean?
So meeting it for good?
No, so he felt good. Since he felt good, someone in his family had corona, but he felt healthy. Vinasa betafkid merkazi. And
so he goes to the...
He has a central role. He has a very important job in the nursing home.
Oh.
Right? Letovat haskenim.
Chosim. Abimakom halach la'avod atuch kidei yeshivat misacha
masecha
emtsa'ai tirut
Okay, right, so this is modern Hebrew. It's not so easy. So what does he say? He has a very important role in the nursing home, and he felt healthy, and he wasn't totally not careful. He wore a mask, right? Unikitat emsei zehiruta mekubalim, and he took all the accepted safety measures, meaning he wore a mask, he washed his hands, everything you're supposed to do, he did. Right, he wasn't like going in without a mask and wiping, you know, his hands on his face and then touching the elderly people. He wore a mask. Everything he was supposed to do, he did. But what happened?
Lachar kama yamim nid bak vimsa nago benagif vechama min achosim chaloi vechad mehem af meis min mitchila.
Mina machala. Right, and
so
then
after like many days, divach. What is that?
Nidbak. He was infected. Right? Nidbak is infected, but this is a typo. Nidbak. He was tested. Vinimtsan nagua benagif. It was found that he was sick. Right? With the virus. The kama menachosim chalu, and several of the people in the nursing home got sick. And one of them died.
Kifi near who ze she had big et acholim af shein baze with the oat gemura. So if they had seen that they had done this test on the sick people.
No, so kifi near, meaning to the best of what it seems, who ze she hidbik. Now this is where it is hidbik, not hidbik. This is hidbik, right? As far as they can tell, he infected them, right? And hidbik means to be infect. Right, because it's right. Davak is like glued. Right, you caught it. They caught it from him, even though he's not sure. Ki b'diavad itbarer sha'odov dibchalu. He's not sure that he got them sick because other workers were also sick. V'lor barur mi hidbik et mi. No one knows who's sick.
Okay, right. So va'ish shavur tzotz v'hu ibakesh et nabsho.
Right, he's broken. Shavur v'ratzutz. Right, he's depressed. So nafsho b'sheilato means like his heart is in this question. Right, he's coming to Rav Asher saying, "I might have killed somebody." Right, b'ameh yichupar avom. How can I get forgiveness? V'keitzad biyadolim so slicha v'kapara. How can I find forgiveness and atonement? Okay. So here's the right. This is the shaila, and like I said, it as we'll see. I don't know if we'll get through all of it. But it really drives home the seriousness of the seriousness we have to take our actions. Right here, this person is asking Rav Asher. He said, "Look, I didn't do it on purpose. I tried to be careful. I'm trying to take care of these elderly people, but I did know that someone in my family had corona, and I went to work anyways. Right? Am I responsible? And I don't even know if I killed someone, but am I responsible because someone got sick and they died? Is that my problem?" And then Rav Asher adds, "You have to ask the same question." I'd have to ask the question about someone who was a total accident. Someone who didn't have to be in quarantine and someone who didn't know that he had been exposed. Someone who was a total accident, right? There was no reason for him to believe that he was sick, but he went to work and he caused someone to be sick. Does he need kapara? So, before we look at his answers, what is he really asking? What is the question on the table? There are really two questions. What are they?
Okay, so seemingly, what is the halachic status of of you passing on a sickness to someone else.
Good, right? So one is, right, is the particular nature of this sin, right? Where it's not direct, it's passive, so to speak, right? How much guilt does that incur? What else? What other conceptual question is driving Rav Asher, or driving this person who's asking Rav Asher? What else is bothering him? Right, one is that this is that, you know, you can giving someone a disease, right, because you're contagious is not quite the same as, you know, killing them or damaging them directly. That's part of the question. What else? So he has two different questions, right? The second question is, whatever responsibility I do incur, is that the case even if I had absolutely no way of knowing, right? Onus gamur. Does the fact that I caused harm to someone through no fault of my own, does that require forgiveness? Or is something only sinful if I intended to do it or in some way could have stopped it? That's the second half of his question. His first question is, even if that's not true, right? Even if someone who had no reason to believe that they'd been exposed to corona, if they're not responsible, what if you were careful, but you did know that you'd been exposed to someone who had corona, and therefore it could be argued that you weren't careful enough? Does being not careful enough carry with it a certain amount of guilt? And I would add that obviously the answer may not be the same when the result is death, or the result is something else, right? It could be that the level of care that you're expected to have to prevent a minor level consequence is not the same as a major consequence, right? Meaning it might be legitimate to accept minor danger if the only potential result is that someone will get a cold, right? I might have a cold, I don't know. I'm going to go to work and someone else might get a cold. You might have to be more careful if the result is death, right? That makes sense. So this was the Shaila that Rav Asher was asked. Okay, and as we're going to see, Rav Asher is going to focus a lot on the second half of this, which is the possibility that seems to play itself out throughout much of halachic literature, that the level of care that you need to, even though in general you have to be careful and you are responsible for things that happen, even if you didn't intend them, the amount of care that you need to have when the potential consequence is loss of life is much, much higher, and therefore you need to be that much more careful. And he's going to prove that thesis from several sources. Can anyone think of proofs that the level of care that you need to exert when the possible consequences are loss of human life are much higher, and therefore the standards of what's considered a forgivable accident is different when it comes to human life or loss of life than by other problems? Can anyone think of cases that would point in that direction?
I mean, the fact that you're able to doche Shabbos if there's
good. So one is obviously the severity of pikuach nefesh in general, that it's doche other mitzvot. Can you give me direct evidence that we treat accidental cause of loss of life more seriously than we might treat the accidental other sins? Nope, everyone's freezing on me. Okay, well, what is the consequence? What is, right, if someone kills by accident, right, is there a unique consequence in halacha?
Oh, I mean, yeah, irmi klal.
Yeah, meaning, right, part of the evidence might be that if someone kills by accident, there's unique punishment or consequence, which is going to, in irmi klal, is going to galut. There are also mitzvot that, in a positive sense, push us to be extra, extra careful with human life. For example, can anyone think of a mitzvah that tells us to be extra careful when it comes to human life? It was in this past week's parsha. I know you didn't go to shul because you're in bidud, So you didn't hear it. But if you did Shtai Mikra.
I mean, there's the commandment for Beis Din to go build roads so the negligent killer can go escape more easily.
Good. So we're even responsible for his life. Give me one example from last week's parsha, one example from 2 weeks ago's parsha that should give you some push in this direction.
I mean,
does it have to do with war?
A high standard for witnesses for.
Did someone else? I think I heard someone else. Someone else suggest something?
I asked if it has something to do with war.
You could probably find some halachot in war, but I was thinking of something else. I mean, there are many answers to this question. There's a mitzvah in this, last week's parsha of ma'akeh. What's ma'akeh? Building a fence around your roof. Right? To prevent someone from falling. We have a special mitzvah to make a roof, a parapet around your roof to make sure someone doesn't fall. Because you don't want to be even indirectly responsible for someone's death. Right? That's Kitete. That was last week's parsha. And 2 weeks ago, we have a special mitzvah that's dedicated just to us expressing our guilt and not doing enough.
You can't like grow your hair.
Say it again?
Cut yourself. You can't cut yourself.
So definitely we can't even damage ourselves. I was thinking from 2 weeks ago, Egla Rufa. The fact that if we even find a dead body in between the cities, we have to have the elders of the city come out and swear we weren't in any way responsible for this. And as you'll learn in Sota, when you get to the Rambikias all the way at the end of the year, right? We held them responsible for not, you know, escorting the person out of the city and leading to his death in the middle, right in between cities. Meaning, in general, people's lives we hold to such a high standard that what counts as guilt in this context is significantly more extreme. So Rav Asher picks up on some of these, and he continues, and he says, "Hein matzinu b'mekamot rabim b'divrei rabotenu g'dolei adorot." Da'af misha'araga da'nevish bishkaga tzarich lekabel al atzmot somot v'sigufim kedei lechaper avon. We have found that not only in the time of the Torah, but generation after generation, the intuition of poskim has been that if someone kills even by accident, he must accept on fast days and even self-flagellation of sorts to achieve atonement, because even indirectly causing someone's death is so terrible, you must find ways to atone. And he says, "Klal yadua." There's a general rule that is known. "Bechol alav in shabbat Torah, she'ena shogig nenash klal." Normally, if you sin by accident, you don't get punished. And if it's such a bad avera that you would get karet if you did it on purpose, alav lahavi korban chatat. You have to bring a karban. Ulehad vadot v'nislachlo. But there isn't really a punishment. There's a karban. The one exception where there seems to be an actual punishment for a sin that you did by accident is ahoreg nefesh bishkaga chayav galut. Is that we kick you out of your home and force you to live in a city of refuge in Yer Miklat. From this, Rav Asher proves v'chazin b'zeh tishvichuta min chamura mikol averot shabbat Torah l'inyan zeh, that for this purpose, murder, even accidental murder, which we call in halach, in English legal jargon, manslaughter, right? But in halacha, there is no such language, right? There is no word for murder versus manslaughter. In fact, even putting someone to death has the same language, right? Death is death is death in the Torah. So you see that the laws of life is that much worse. And he says, "Omnam katav marsha de'ena golu la'onish v'lo kaparav l'nodei latzil miad gol adam." Said some people, like the Marsha, thought that the only purpose of the Yer Miklat is to protect the murderer from the accidental murderer from the Goel Adam. But he says, but Rav Asher argues that that's not how most people understood it. And he said most of the Rishonim think that it's kapara, and that's the simple pshat in the Gemara, that you actually need atonement, and therefore you have to have galut. And he notes that the Chinuch writes as follows: Mishershei mitzvah. Lifisha avona ritzicha chamur ad mod, murder, even accidental murder, is so bad. Sheba hashchatat ha'olam, it destroys the world. Ad shamru zechonam livracha, shaoreg nefesh mezid, To the point where Chazal say, if you murder on purpose, afilu asa kol ha-mitzvot, eino nitzol min ha-din. Even if you did every other mitzvah, in kol ha-der kula, it wouldn't save you. She'emar adam ashuk bidam nefesh ad bor yanus velo yimaleit. V'lechein ra'ui l'misharak afilu shogeg, and therefore someone who kills even by accident. Mecheven shebat takala gdola kazul yado, since such a terrible thing came through you, she'itztayer alav tsar galut, Shishakul kimar kesar mita. You should experience galut, which is sort of like death. Harei landa chena galut oneshu. So you see from the chinuch, then galut is a punishment. Ba'avsha b'shar averot shabatara ena shoig ra'ui la'onesh. By your other sins, you don't really get punished for accidental sins. Shvichut damim shayni mishum chumrata. Murder is different. And he says, lest you think that's only true in the time of the Torah. He says, no, generation after generation, hello Ezra, poskim thought that you needed to find a way for a kapara if you accidentally killed. V'malach ha-darot matzinu v'zeh mikrim shonim, u'mishunim v'gishut shonot, shogdolei ha-darot. We saw many different aspects of this and different ways that different gdolim, different poskim thought that you had to find kapara. V'ayeret shorshei ha-dvarim. And now he gives you a bunch of examples. We don't have to read through all of them, but if you want to take some of his examples, that murder is different, that human life needs extra care. Yes, Mayor.
Bima told me to give
Ezra
a few breaths.
Okay. Okay, who wants to, someone else, want to read his first example, his summary of the Mari Vail, who's one of the major German, sort of borderline Rishonim Achronim. Take it away, Adam.
From the top paragraph?
Yeah.
Alright,
Bishud, which is She'elot v'tshuvot, right? Question and answer. Mari Vail.
Okay. Dane b'mei she'shalach shaliach, it's ruled by one who sends out a shaliach.
Right,
Darko,
right. He deals with the case of someone who sent a messenger, and what happened?
And the messenger was killed on the way.
Right.
Even though the messenger...
The sender. Mishaleach. Even though the sender, lo pasha klal klal, he didn't do anything. He just sent him. Right? Mikol makom.
In all places.
Nevertheless.
Kevan shashilicho le... So since he sent him, he's obligated. There's an obligation upon him to do a kapara. The tarich lehis anos, and he needs to fast 40 days.
Right. So he's right. So you see, Mari Vail, major 500 years ago, German posek says no fault of your own, but he was traveling because you sent him 40-day fast. Right. Which is extreme, right? Now, you'll see that the focus of this tshuva is going to be Rav Asher throwing a lot of things to convince you that you better take this seriously, right? V'im yesh
l'shalach shenel harag banim k'tanim, and if the messenger you sent has young children, yid ag l'tein lahem parnasasam. So you need to give them their money.
Right, I mean, you need to support them, right? If he had a family, the guy who died had a family, you better support them now. That's how you'll protect yourself from, right, terrible consequences yourself. Right? And he proves it from this Gemara in Sanhedrin. Right? Hey, v'rayim asham rubi Sanhedrin. Yeah.
Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to, Ben David, so Hashem said to David, Ad Masai Yishya Avon Ze Tamun Biadecha. Until when will you,
will you have this sin in your hand?
This sin in your hand. Okay. Al Yadecha Naharaga Nov Yir HaKonim. It's on your hands that, that Nov was killed.
Right. What's Nov? Nov Yerakoanim. So what's the story? Anyone remember this story from Tanakh? Right. David was running away from Shaul. He stops in Nov to get food and weapons. Right. Specifically, the sword of Goliath. And
yeah, and then Shaul found out and then ordered
right.
the destruction.
Exactly. Doeg HaDomi tells Shaul that the people of Nob helped him, even though they didn't know he was a rebel, right? And he kills every person in the city. Right? So the Gemara says that at some level, David, even though David was running away from Shaul, he stops in Nob to get himself food. And it's Doeg creates the impression that Nob is rebelling against Shaul and therefore he kills them. The Gemara says at some level it's David's fault. Right? You led to what happened because of Doeg, right, who told Shaul, and Shaul died. And that's your fault too. Right? Meaning very unintended, many, many levels of you know, it rolled through many different levels of consequence. It could be that Gemara doesn't blame Yonatan, but the Gemara blames David, right? And therefore, he says, and Hashem says to him, "Do you want Mayor? Please don't. You can play upstairs. Do you want your children to all die, right?" Or be given over to the enemy. Let me be given over to the enemy and not my children. Right? Meaning, the consequences here are quite dire for something that's clearly unintentional. Now, if you skim down, he notes that Tzemach Tzedek isn't sure about this because he says maybe the Shliach case is not this bad because David really led to their death. Right? The Shliach, you hired someone. Someone knew the risk when he took the job, so maybe that's not the same. But in the end of the day, the Tzemach Tzedek said, no, the Shliach case, the messenger case, you have to have some tshuva. Then in another tshuva, Tzemach Tzedek, he writes about a person, he was traveling and it was cold and they went into an inn and in the middle the young boy who was with him just didn't have the strength to go on and the person continued and went, the person continued to save the guy's life. He went to the city to tell them to send someone back to help him, right? But didn't tell him exactly, he didn't tell him exactly where to go. And by the time he got there, he was already dead. The Tzemach Tzedek said, well, you're an onus, because you were trying to save the guy, right? Still, you should fast 40 days, and every Monday for the entire year after he died, and all of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva for the rest of your life, and every Bahab, every Monday, Thursday, Monday, after Chagim for the rest of your life, and every Erev Rosh Chodesh for the rest of your life. Right? That was the Tzemach Tzedek's suggestion, even after he said you were totally not responsible for the guy's death. And then he quotes the Panim Me'irot, of people who were playing Russian roulette, essentially. They kept pulling the trigger on a gun and nothing happened, and then the third time it shot and someone died. So the Panim Me'irot was, you know, goes through different ones, okay, tells him every day fast on the yard site, and he quotes the Rokeach, who gives all type of tikkuni tshuva, and says that anyone who accidentally caused someone's death has to go into galut, he's never allowed to sleep in the same place for two nights for the rest of his life. He had a case of a mother who accidentally smothered their child while nursing her in bed to fast every year. He goes through a bunch of these. And he notes that not everyone is this machmir. The Rama had a case where he... not in every case you need to go into galut. Right? He goes through all of these. The Marshal was a little bit more makil in a different case. I mean, he goes through many, many, many different cases. But his point is that l'orach ha'dorot, some were more makil, some were more machmir. But many poskim felt that if even accidentally, in any way, shape, or form, you led to someone's death, there needs to be consequences. You need to reflect that your actions had implications, and therefore you need to do something. And he notes that in Maram Lublin, he was very machmir, with the following case. Someone came, knocked on his door to get help, and he didn't answer the door to help because he thought that he was going to be robbed. He didn't know who was at the door. And he put, right, he moved his, like, closet in front of the door to stop anyone from coming in. And that led to the person knocking on his door, catching cold, and eventually dying. Right, it's not really direct responsibility. And Maram Lublin was so angry at him, he said, here's what he had to do. Fast for 40 days, then 3 days every week, right? And you can never have wine or meat on the night before the fast. Never sleep on pillows for the rest of your life, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Only take a shower and clean your hair once a month. You have to lie down on the doorway in the shul and let everyone walk on you. Sit behind the shul and don't enter shul for a year. Go to the kever once a year with 10 people to ask for forgiveness. Never go to any, for a whole year, never join in any seuda, simcha, trip, or laughing, or any enjoyment whatsoever. For 3 years, fast every Monday, Thursday, and Monday. And for 5 years, don't have any alcoholic drink at all. And on every Monday, the shamash in the shul should give you 40 makot in private for 12 months. Okay? Which, as he admits, is extreme beyond extreme. Right? He says, "Advarim mavhilim b'churmatam." This is terrifying stuff. He said, this is terrifying, and I don't think if you really have to do it. But what's the point? Why is he giving you this list after list after list? So his point is, Ach mikol makom. He says, this may be too extreme. I admit it. But why does he say that, why does he bring all these examples? Mikol makom chazin en bazeh, shebein gedolei olam, tkafike kamai, matzinu bazeh drachim shano, v'gishot shano, lo harezeh k'harezeh. Said, everyone has their own ways of doing it. But in lifnei meot b'shanim echmiru bazeh ma'od. He said, look, I'm not telling you to do what they used to do. You're not as strong, whatever. We're not as frum. Fine. Right? We're not capable of holding ourselves to those standards of everybody else. But still, he said, you should understand these tshuvot just to get, drive it into your soul that human life is really important. And even if you cause someone to die unintentionally, you have to realize how bad that is. It should at least, you should at least feel that. And therefore he says, halacha l'maisa, practically this is what he suggests. Nira l'chalek ben shnei matzavim shonim. There are two different types of situations. Im zek shvenir eid b'kachir machala lo pasha klal, ki lo yada v'lo yamur ladad, im avloch lachsho shenid bak menagif. He said, if you had no reason to believe you were sick, and you didn't, right, you had no reason to believe you were sick, and you just were doing normal things, onis gamur v'enetzar kapara klal. So then I'll tell you, you don't need kapara. You don't need forgiveness. What are you supposed to do? You had no reason to believe you were sick, and you were going to take care of these people in the nursing home. You were doing a mitzvah. You know, what can you do? But just to remind yourself that someone died because of you, even though it was no fault of your own, still, I want you to fast every Erev Rosh Chodesh, the Yomer Yom Kippur Katan v'meshach Shana Rishana. For the first year, I want you to fast and say vidui, like it's like Yom Kippur Katan, which is a certain text of viduyim. Vim kasha lav hatanit v'yesh bo bitul melechat shamayim. If it's really hard for you and it'll prevent you from doing mitzvot, yitanel ad l'achar chatzot ayom. At least fast until after chatzot. Something. V'yikabel alat mo limud li'ili nishmatam shal nefterim. Learn some Torah in memory of the people who died. And if the people who died need money, so give them tztaka. But if you did something negligent, Like this guy avot. But if one of your family members had corona, you knew that you had been exposed and you went to work with sick, with elderly people anyways? You should do all those different things I said above. Do all of them. Fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. Do tshuva every night. And try to fix what you did. Try to at least visit sick people and help them. Go out of your way to try to save lives. Go out of your way to comfort mourners. Right, so this is his tshuva. And again, the reason I wanted to read this tshuva is, again, Rav Asher doesn't think halachically, and if you listen to his shir, he'll say this explicitly. He doesn't think halachically you're really required to do all these things. He thinks it's a bit extreme. But what he wants you to understand is that the fact that so many poskim over the generations have come up with different types of kaparot is supposed to remind you, if nothing else, that when human life is involved especially, you really, really have to take it seriously. You have to go bend over backwards to be careful, and even if it was totally accidental, there is a value to doing something to remind yourself that something bad happened because of you. That is a reality that you can't escape no matter what. And you're supposed to feel it. And again, obviously the reason that this chumrah is true is because we're talking about human life. But like I said, around Yom Yonoraim, it's worth at least realizing that even when we do things accidentally, right, there are consequences of what we do, which should remind us how seriously we need to be thinking during Yom Yonoraim about what we do, what, you know, the impact that what we do can have on other people, and take that, at least take that seriously. Obviously, I'm not telling you Lamaisa, you know, please God, you'll never be in this situation. But this is just an extreme example of taking our actions seriously. And obviously, the particular manifestation of corona is quite tragic, and please God, we're never in this situation. But I thought it was worth seeing how a major posek now deals with someone who, you know, is grappling with what guilt should they incur for the unintended consequence of their actions. At least something to worth seeing during Yom Noraim. Okay, so that's this tshuva in Rav Asher. Again, this is not halacha maisa, I'm not poskening, and I hope this never comes up with you. But I do want you to just see the way poskim work and the types of ethical values and religious values they're trying to impart, right? Because you see in this tshuva, he's not just giving you hard and fast halacha. He's trying to show you how the halachic system in its totality is trying to get across a certain ethos, right? A certain sensitivity about the importance of human life, about taking responsibility for your actions, intended or not. And at least seeing how seriously a posek takes it in this extreme case should at least give us pause in our own lives when we do anything, realizing the impact we could have on other people, and at least make us take a moment to take it seriously. So that was why I thought it was worth reading this tshuva. Maybe next week I'll try a less depressing tshuva. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, this is to expose you to Rav Asher Weiss and the types of serious shailas that have been asked during this craziness of Corona, and we'll do another tshuva on Tuesday. Okay, guys? Yeah.